Parts of Ziyara Text of Jamaatul Kabira, issued by Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salamu ala a'immatil huda wa masabih at-tuja wa a'lam at-tuqa wa dawin nuha.
In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety, the owners of understanding, the endued with thoughts, the havens of the peoples, the inheritors of the prophets, the perfect specimen, the most excellent call, and the arguments of Allah against the inhabitants of the world, the hereafter and the former world. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon you all.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu ala mahal ma'rifah.
Peace be upon the exponents of the recognition of Allah, the centers of Allah's blessing, the essence of Allah's wisdom, the keepers of Allah's secrets, the bearers of Allah's book, the successor of Allah's prophet, and the progeny of Allah's messenger. May Allah send blessings upon him and his household. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon them.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu ala al-du'ati ila Allah wal-adillahi ala marzatillah.
Peace be upon the callers of Allah, the leaders to Allah's pleasure, the abiders of Allah's decree, the perfect in love for Allah, the sincere in professing Allah's oneness, the manifester of Allah's orders and prohibitions, and Allah's honored bondmen who speak not until He has spoken and act by His command. Allah's mercy and blessings to be upon them.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are talking about the dialogues of Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam, His Eminence, the ninth divinely appointed Imam. Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam has this very beautiful conversation with one of his companions. And so he was talking to his companion, and the companion asked him that if he could narrate a tradition from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Now, what's interesting is that the infallible and immaculate Imams, alayhim as-salam, in the eras that they lived in, you know, the people did have the love for the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. And so because the people had this love and this admiration for the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, they would come and they would ask the infallible and immaculate Imams, you know, to relate traditions about the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him. And what's interesting is that our infallible and immaculate Imams, alayhim as-salam, they were this true source of the knowledge and the wisdom of Rasulullah, peace and blessings upon him. And so the people would come and they would ask, just as they would unfortunately ask other individuals in society, but the other individuals in society in their respective times, of course, were no match for the purity and the perfection that the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam had when it came to relating the traditions of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him. And so in this conversation, we find that this individual and this companion came and he wanted Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam to talk a little bit and to relate a tradition from the Messenger of Allah, and so His Eminence did. And His Eminence replies in response to this question from his companion that there is a tradition from the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, where His Eminence Rasulullah said, "Love Allah for the blessings that Allah gives you, and love me, the Holy Prophet, for the love of Allah, and love my household, the Holy Prophet's household, for my love." And so here we find, dear friends, how important this aspect is in our lives, this love for the Almighty Allah, especially when taking into consideration the great amount of blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the different things that we have, the things that we own, you know, and the things that we don't necessarily own, but we are blessed with, for example, vision or memory or hearing or taste or, you know, our sense of touch, life, existence, right? This roof over our head, most probably a car to drive, food to eat, you know, being able to breathe in a very comfortable manner. The more things that we think about, the more things there are that Allah has blessed us with. And, you know, we have to and we must love Allah because He's given all of these things. And then because we have love for Allah and Allah has commanded us to love the Messenger of Allah, we love the Messenger of Allah. And because we love the Messenger of Allah, and it is the Messenger of Allah who has commanded us to love the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, thus, we also love the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, excuse me. A very beautiful dialogue indeed. This is Dialogue Imam al-Hadi alayhi as-salam. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en, Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Puraza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alami, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
It's feared that Israel is engaging in an act of genocide across the Gaza Strip. Amid the deadly bombing, essential services have been cut off, all exits have been closed by the regime's forces, and vital aid is not being allowed in. EU Foreign Affairs ministers held emergency talks on Tuesday and had to concede that Israel is breaking international law.
The United Nations has already said that as cutting water, cutting electricity, cutting food to a mass of civilian people is against international law.
It suggested the sheer scale of the latest crisis could be an impetus for positive change.
This could be an awakening moment in order to re-engage with the problem of Palestine and Israel.
campaigners in Belgium are condemning Israel's latest onslaught.
This mass aggression and bombing in Gaza cannot eliminate the action of the Palestinian resistance, who came flying and on the ground fighting for liberation of Palestine from the river to the sea.
We, the Palestinian diaspora, have to be united. We can see today the hypocrisy of the West still funding and supporting the Zionist colonies and settlements inside Palestine. This must be stopped.
The EU's executive arm is being forced to backtrack after Commissioner Oliver Varhelyi tweeted on Monday that all funding to Palestine is being cut off.
The announcement which was made by Commissioner Varhelyi was not preceded by consultations with any member of the college.
Regarding Israel's latest blatant flouting of international law, there's no sign that the EU will take any action. It has never done so in the past. We have already seen pro-Palestinian rallies take place around the world since Saturday. Now groups here in Belgium have announced they will hold similar events in the coming days. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
The people of Pakistan have attended a massive rally in the capital city of Islamabad to voice their anger against the atrocities committed by Israel in the Palestinian territories. They expressed their solidarity with the Palestinian people and called for an end to Israel's occupation of their land.
We demand from international communities that they should take action towards this inhumanity and they should do something, put action towards this. Like, they are suffering for 70 years. The Palestinians suffering from 70 years, daily basis.
We're here to stand in support of the activities happening in Palestine by Hamas against the illegal Israeli occupation.
The demonstrators also slammed the United States for supporting Israel, saying the so-called champion of human rights is providing financial and military assistance to Israel for killing innocent men, women, and children in Palestine.
As America has announced the one-sided support of Israel, all Muslim Ummah, especially OIC, called its meeting and announced the support of the Palestinian fighters because they are under atrocities of the Israel. And all the Muslim Ummah has to support Palestinians.
The protesters urge the Muslim world to unite and put an end to attacks on Palestinians.
The firm stance of Pakistan is on Palestine's freedom and refusal to recognize Israel as a legitimate state reflects their commitment to the principles of justice, human rights, and international laws. Nasik Azmi, Islamabad.
Sailing towards what they hope will be the last leg of an arduous journey to safety. But those who make it face a hostile environment, thanks to the British government's controversial plan to deport thousands of asylum seekers coming to the UK illegally to the East African country of Rwanda. The plan has a short but checkered history. In June, the UK's Court of Appeal overturned a high court ruling which had said Rwanda was a safe third country for migrants to be sent to. This week, the British government is appealing that ruling here.
Critics say the Rwanda policy pursued by the Interior Ministry risks violating the UK's international obligations to protect human rights. They're raising concerns about the impact of the policy on victims of modern slavery and trafficking, and also on women, children, and disabled people arriving on British shores.
There are concerns about people being prematurely returned to the nations from which they are fleeing in the first instance when an initial decision may be made. Is there a robust and independent appeal process for those people that would offer them protection whilst their claims are going through the independent tribunal service? There are lots of concerns about this ill-thought-out policy.
But the British Interior Minister Soila Braverman disagrees. Earlier this month, she dialed up her anti-immigration rhetoric in a desperate attempt to appeal to the Conservative Party faithful at their annual conference in Manchester.
The wind of change that carried my own parents across the globe in the 20th century was a mere gust compared to the hurricane that is coming.
Previously, she had called the migrant arrivals an invasion, language that has led many to ask if her Home Office treats all migrants equally.
The UK take in far less refugees than any other country. And actually, if we look at the way that people from Ukraine fleeing for their lives have been treated, they were treated humanely. They were treated like human beings. They were welcomed and they were given safe passage.
It is all now in the hands of the Supreme Court judges. If they agree with the Court of Appeal, then the British Home Secretary's dream of sending asylum seekers to Rwanda in its current form is dead. Said Puriza, London.
Nigerian demonstrators who are waving Palestinian flags march through the streets of Abuja chanting support for the people of Palestine and condemning the Israeli attacks on Gaza, where hundreds of innocent civilians have so far been killed. They express support for the Hamas Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, which was carried out in response to the Israeli violent attacks on Al-Aqsa. The protesters condemn the Israeli violent response against the people of Gaza.
Every right-thinking person in this world must feel bad over this daylight genocide in the eyes of the whole world.
The demonstrators said human beings are either brothers in religion or in humanity, and so support for the Palestinians becomes a duty for all Muslims, Christians, and followers of other religions.
The demonstrators here said they want Nigerians to break the deafening silence and condemn the murder of innocent Palestinians.
They also asked Nigerians to pray for the Palestinians.
People, and we all should be.
In an interview, the Palestinian ambassador to Nigeria condemned the massacre in Gaza and debunked the erroneous myth spread by the Jews as being a chosen people. He condemned the inherent racism of the Israelis.
Jewish supremacy, this is something that we are facing in Palestine in a daily basis. They are treating us today. They are declaring that they are fighting against a human animal. Could you imagine that? He did not mention that they are fighting against Palestine, a human animal. They considering us as a human animal.
The protesters burnt the flag of Israel and America to signify the strong condemnation of their oppression and double standards. Danjum Abdullahi, Abuja.
With our blood and with our lives, we support you, O Al-Aqsa. This was the chant that rang high in the streets of the Yemeni capital, where tens of thousands of Yemenis came out to express solidarity for the latest Palestinian offensive against Israel.
Today, Sana'a came out to say we are with Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, which will wash away all the oppressors and all of those normalizing ties and selling out Palestine. Today, Sana'a is letting the Palestinians know that we are with you and that this operation will lead to the end of all oppressors worldwide.
Ansarullah officials at the rally congratulated what they called an unprecedented Palestinian attack that exposed just how weak the Israeli regime is. Muhammad Ali al-Houthi, a prominent Ansarullah official, believes power is the only initiative Israel will respect.
The only initiative respected by the illegal occupiers is the kind of power that was demonstrated by the great fighters from the Palestinian resistance groups. Their heroic and iconic actions will be recorded in the books of history and will never be forgotten by the enemy and will never be forgotten by the Muslim world.
It is an Islamic obligation to stand with the Palestinians and to stand against our enemies and to stand against America and Israel. The conflict for us is a matter of central and fundamental Islamic duties. By the will of Allah, victory is near.
The demonstration also condemned some of the Arab regimes who have normalized ties with Israel, declaring those who engage in such political efforts as traitors to Islam. Following the surprise offensive against Israel, senior Hamas military commander has called on all Islamic resistance movements in the region, including Lebanon's Hezbollah and Yemen's Ansarullah movement, to unite efforts to liberate Palestine today, not tomorrow. Yusuf Mawdi, Sana'a.
The 5th International and 13th National Iranian Biotechnology Congress has kicked off in the capital, Tehran. The inauguration ceremony of this scientific event was held at the International Conference Center of Shahid Beheshti University. The Congress is the most important gathering of Iranian biotechnology specialists and will run until October 10th.
This conference is aimed at recognizing scientific and technological achievements in the fields of genetic engineering and biotechnology. Hundreds of scientists, researchers, and even students have participated in this event. Nearly 600 articles were presented to the conference.
The Congress aims to provide an innovative and comprehensive overview of the latest developments in different fields of biotechnology, such as pharmaceuticals and nanotechnology.
Regarding the Congress, we have been working so hard to organize a conference on mostly scientific and in entrepreneurship. What I can say about the Iranian biotechnology is that the progress has been immense in the past 20 years. We have had a few laws in Iranian parliament that supporting the startups and the high technologies, including the biotechnology, especially in medicine, pharmaceuticals. Iranian progress have been immense. We are exporting our pharmaceuticals to many countries, but the progress has not been limited on pharmaceuticals, on kits, on several different aspects.
Biotech products account for nearly one-tenth of Iranian knowledge-based companies' income, as well as 60% of their exports. Currently, about 800 knowledge-based firms are operating in the field of biotechnology in Iran. They have managed to fulfill the country's domestic needs by manufacturing homegrown products and decrease the country's foreign exchange spending.
We are a knowledge-based company that has managed to produce thermocycler machines in Iran for the first time. This machine is used in the quantification of DNA and RNA. This apparatus is used in many Iranian laboratories. It can compete with the foreign models as it is very accurate and has a reasonable price.
We are a knowledge-based company active in the field of diagnostic and extraction kits production. We cooperate with many Iranian companies, labs, and research institutions. In the long term, we want to export our products to the neighboring countries.
Around 30 types of biotech medicines are produced in Iran in addition to kits, vaccines, and blood products. Also, 80% of biotechnology pharmaceutical items are domestically produced. Iran is an advanced and developed country in biotechnology. It's ranked first in the West Asia and 12th in the world. And by supporting knowledge-based companies and academics, the country seeks to improve its global position in this field. Mahdi Abbasian, Tehran.
Hundreds of people have taken to the streets of the Pakistani capital Islamabad to express their support for Palestinian people and to condemn the Israeli regime's atrocities against Palestinians. Chanting slogans against the US and Israel, the demonstrators called on the Western nations to stop supporting the Tel Aviv regime and respect the rights of Palestinians.
West has shown their hypocrisy, their dual standards. They again stood up for Israelis. They raised their voice like America and other countries that what has been done by Hamas, that was a brutality. But what has taken place in right now in residential area of Gaza, they are not raising the voice of the Gazans. They are not raising the voice of innocent Palestinians, where many dozens of innocent children and women are killed.
The demonstrators also urged the Muslim world to unite in order to put an end to attacks on Muslims living in Palestine.
All of the governments of the world except Iran and some other governments like Syria and Iraq, all of the other governments are like they're acting as puppet of the US, and that's very painful. And obviously the nation, the people, the Muslim Ummah is standing behind Palestine.
This is the time for the Muslim world to voice its solidarity with Palestinian brothers. We, the Pakistanis, express our support for the Palestinians and call for an immediate end to Israeli violence and oppression.
The Pakistani government has expressed its deep concerns over escalating tensions in the West Asia and expressed its support for Palestinians, calling on Israel to immediately halt its oppression.
Supporters of the Palestinian cause often express a deep commitment to continue their unwavering and unconditional support for the Palestinian liberation movement. They emphasize that the struggle for self-determination and justice for the Palestinian people is central to their advocacy. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Heads of governments were focusing on bringing more countries into the EU during a summit in Spain on Friday. However, millions of citizens across the current 27 member states are being neglected. A debate in the European Parliament has heard.
There are now 900,000 homeless people on any given night in Europe. And it's estimated that up to 125 million people in Europe live in energy poverty.
Apparently, social welfare systems in the EU are broken.
People across Europe are struggling to pay their rents, their mortgages, even the energy to heat their houses. Those losing their jobs are at a serious risk of becoming immediately homeless.
Sanctions against Russia are hurting the EU's economy. This as huge sums are spent on the war in Ukraine. Unlike EU decision makers, it seems a growing number of citizens want peace talks.
The solution is there. The solution is not to rearm Europe.
If France or Belgium had the war and Ukraine had this huge money, are we thinking that they're gonna give us this money? I don't believe so.
Meanwhile, the cash keeps flowing out of the EU and into Ukraine. Since things escalated in February last year, the EU has spent 83 billion euro on arming Ukraine, propping up the government in Kiev, and housing Ukrainian refugees. Some legislators claim it's a war the EU simply cannot afford or win. The European Central Bank has now increased interest rates 10 times in a row. The strategy, aimed at reducing inflation, is being questioned.
Inflation is the enemy of the poor and those on low incomes, but equally, high interest rates causes recessions, and recessions bring about unemployment.
Analysts point out that those driving the EU's economic and foreign policies are well able to afford the consequences, unlike the average person. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Emimet is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu Alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, we're welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Farahzad. Stay tuned. If our child got sick, what do we do? Usually people take their children to a doctor or a hospital. Now, if the child fears a doctor or hospital, then what do? We talk to the child kindly and try to use good words about doctors and hospitals. Even parents buy some gifts to take the child to a doctor.
اگر پدر و مادر محبتشون ضعیف باشه
If the parents do not love their child enough, they will leave, telling the child after two or three times. However, if their love for child is strong and the child does not accept to go to the doctor and the sickness is becoming worse and worse, then such good parents start warning the child about consequences of not going to the doctor. The prophets and the other infallibles were exactly like this. They warned the people about Allah's punishment, not to threaten them, but to invite them towards goodness. In better words, the punishment and chastisements that are in Islam are for making us better people and not to intimidate us about Allah and the hereafter. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Farahzad. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Join us in this journey.
This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight. Israeli officials have ordered a total blockade of the Gaza Strip to compensate for heavy losses suffered during Operation Al-Aqsa Storm, launched by the Palestinian resistance group Hamas on Saturday, 7th of October. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The website of Arab News has covered this story and tells us more. The Palestinian envoy to the United Nations has issued a vehement condemnation of the Israeli regime's underway indiscriminate war against the Gaza Strip and its threat to bring the entire coastal sliver under an all-out siege. Riyad Mansour wrote in a letter to the United Nations Security Council on Tuesday, 10th of October, "Such blatant dehumanization and attempts to bomb a people into submission, to use starvation as a method of warfare, and to eradicate their national existence are nothing less than genocidal." Riyad Mansour added, "These acts constitute war crimes by the Israeli regime." Calling up an unprecedented 300,000 reservists, the Israeli regime has declared a long war on Gaza in response to Operation Al-Aqsa Storm. Gaza's resistance movements initiated the operation on Saturday, 7th of October, in response to the occupying regime's decades-long campaign of bloodshed and destruction of Palestinians. The military campaign has seen the regime leveling entire districts and featured its using banned white phosphorus munitions against densely populated neighborhoods of Gaza. Earlier, the Israeli War Minister Yoav Gallant drew international condemnation by announcing a total blockade of Gaza to stop food and fuel from reaching the territory, home to 2.3 million Palestinians. The war minister, Yoav Gallant, also said Israel was battling a beastly people. The United Nations Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, on Monday, 9th of October, said he was deeply distressed by Israel's announcement of a complete siege of Gaza. Guterres said, "The humanitarian situation in Gaza was extremely dire before these hostilities, and now it will only deteriorate exponentially." Iran's press TV has also covered the same story and tells us more. Israeli officials have ordered a total blockade of Gaza to compensate for heavy losses suffered during Operation Al-Aqsa Storm, launched by the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas on Saturday, 7th of October. Iran's foreign minister Hossein Amr Abdollahian has warned of a humanitarian catastrophe amid ongoing Israeli aggression on the besieged Gaza Strip, calling on the United Nations to adopt immediate measures to prevent the occupying regime from perpetrating further crimes and rights violations against Palestinians. Hossein Amr Abdollahian raised the alarm in a letter to United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres on Tuesday, 10th of October. In the letter, Amr Abdollahian pointed to the recent developments in Palestine and the Israeli regime's decades-long aggression against Palestinians. Amr Abdollahian touched on the plight and suffering of the Palestinian people at the hands of the illegal Zionist regime over the past seven decades. He blamed Western countries, particularly the United States of America, for the dire situation in Palestine today. The top Iranian diplomat said in the letter, "During the past seven decades, the occupying Zionist regime, without paying the slightest attention to the laws and norms of international law, including international humanitarian law and human rights, and whilst enjoying the support of the United States and the West, which protect this regime against any legal charges and punishment, has committed the most heinous war crimes, crimes against humanity, and the crime of genocide against the oppressed people of Palestine. Amir Abdullahian pointed to Operation Al-Aqsa Storm by the Palestinian resistance group Hamas, and he described the Hamas-led military action as a natural reaction of the Palestinian people in defense of their most basic rights. The Iranian foreign minister also underlined the Palestinians' right to self-defense against the occupying regime in accordance with the United Nations Charter and in accordance to international laws. Amir Abdullahian said, "The legitimate right to defense is an inherent right that is clearly recognized in the United Nations Charter and international law. The Palestinian nation, as a nation that has been unjustly deprived of the fundamental right to determine its own destiny and is exposed to attacks and violations of human rights and human dignity at any moment, unequivocally has the right to defend itself and resist occupation and aggression." In his letter to the United Nations chief, Hossein Amir Abdullahian warned about the indiscriminate killing of Palestinians by the Zionist regime in the battle against the Gaza Strip, and raised the alarm about the dangers of laying a full siege around Gaza by cutting off water and electricity and humanitarian aid. Amir Abdullahian said, "With an overview of the inhumane actions and blatant threats of the Zionist regime in recent days, I deem it necessary to warn against the occurrence of a major humanitarian catastrophe in occupied Palestine, and highlight the responsibility of the United Nations and the UN Secretary General to support the oppressed people of Palestine and to prevent the aggressor regime from continuing its violence, bloodshed and destruction."
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile...
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi...
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahrudin was...
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see...
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, "Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid."
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in The Teacher.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum to the listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, where welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an introduction into the religious and scholarly life of the most outstanding Sahabi or companions of Prophet Muhammad, and of course the Shiite infallible Imams. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Shaykh Fadai. Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
And Shaykh Fadai, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about an outstanding muhaddis and mufassir among the companions of Imam al-Sajjad, Imam al-Baqir, and Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He is no one but Sabit ibn Dinar Somali, mainly known as Abu Hamza Somali. Mostly we know in the Shiite world by a dua under the name of Abu Hamza Somali. We will talk more about this dua and his scholarly life. Shaykh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother. Give us some information about Abu Hamza Somali. Who was he?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Abu Hamza Thabit ibn Dinar Thumali, who is known as Abu Hamza Thumali.
Yes.
He was one of the great narrators, first of all. I mean, Muhaddis and Rawi, and then exegetes of the Holy Quran, and Imami, actually, exegetes of the Holy Quran. And also, he was among the companions of Imam al-Sajjad, Imam al-Baqir, and Imam al-Sadiq. So he actually was the companions of three infallible Imams. Yes. And of course, as you rightly mentioned, one of the prayers and very beautiful and meaningful dua, which is narrated by Abu Hamza Thumali, is nowadays available, and the people read that dua in the holy month of Ramadan.
Yes.
So, of course, he was from the tribe Tay, Qabilay Tay, or the tribe Tay.
Yes.
And from Kufa, actually, he died in 160 of Hijri Qamari. So, of course, he was among the Shia scholars. Yes. In terms of his riwayat and his narrations, it is said that he was thiqa, which means trusted.
Yes.
And, of course, he wrote many books. One is Tafsir al-Qur'an, the interpretation of the Holy Qur'an, Kitab al-Nawadir, Risalat al-Huquq, which is one of the very well-known book regarding huquq, which is from Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn, Imam al-Sajjad, alayhi salatu wasalam. Also, it was written by Abu Hamza Thumali.
It's better to say and clarify that some of the Sahabi of the infallible Imams were the receiver, or it's better to say recipients, of the books and the letters of the Shiite infallible Imams. That's why their names were put on that book. For example, Risalat al-Huquq is not written by Abu Hamza. Risalat al-Huquq is given, or it's better to say, is sent.
Dictated.
Yeah, it's sent to, we can say, Abu Hamza by Ali ibn al-Husayn, and also Dua Abu Hamza Somali. We will talk more about it. Shaykh Fadai, he is among the first people who have Tafsir al-Quran, you know, on that time exists of the Holy Quran. So regarding Tafsir and regarding, we can say, his Tafsir of the Quran and Risalat al-Huquq and Dua Abu Hamza Somali make him really authentic among the Shiite scholars.
Of course, about interpretation of Quran, the first interpreter was Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, and then the Holy Ahlul Bayt. But we can say, one of the pioneers in the first ages of Islam. He had some of the works about Tafsir.
Mm-hmm.
And the point which is important to mention is that, you know, none of the companions of Imams had anything from themselves. All they had was from their Imam. As you said, they were recipients.
Yes.
You know, they were good students.
Yes.
That is, I think that is the best phrase to talk about them. There were a lot of people around Ahlul Bayt.
That's right.
But why now we talk about Abu Hamza?
Yes.
Because a lot of people were around Imam, they were not grateful to their Imam. Mm-hmm. They didn't know the position of their Imam.
Really?
They didn't know that all the science come from them.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, because they didn't have enough basira, they didn't have insight.
Yeah, for
they didn't try to take as much as it's possible from Imams. Really? But Abu Hamza was not like that, as we can see nowadays. Abu Hamza Thumali or Risalat al-Huquq.
Yes.
Two important texts that we can learn a lot from them. You know, there are some texts that it can be taught in the universities in Hosa more than years.
Yes.
So the difference that they were grateful.
Yes.
They knew the positions of Imam. So about the interpretation, Tafsir, about Munajat, about I don't know Huquq, you know, different field of studies.
Yes.
These are some majors nowadays in universities. But again, we are not grateful to their jobs.
Okay, that's right.
You know, we can have their jobs as our sources, main sources in these fields.
Right.
Why not?
A really fruitful book. Just look at Risalat al-Huquq by Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam.
In Risalat al-Huquq, we can have it as one of the main important sources in the law.
Yes.
The field of law, but we don't have it.
Yes.
Or, I don't know, Dua Abu Hamza Somali.
Yes.
We can have a lot of researches on that in the field of psychology.
Yes.
Because this is the relationship between a servant, between Abd and his God.
Yes.
So by this relationship, we can have a good life.
Okay.
But usually in psychology, we just consider the material aspects of person.
That's right.
Not the divine aspect. Because of that, we can see that we don't have good life. Always with a lot of problem with the wife, with the husband, with the children.
Yes.
Why? Because we don't pay enough attention to these munajats and dua and the divine aspects of humans.
The rights of the parents, the students, children, environment, animals, you know, wives, spouses, teachers, students, as I said. So many other rights are mentioned in Rasalatul Huquq. Inshallah, we'll dedicate one specific session to this book.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah. But let's get back to Dua Abu Hamza Somali Shaykh Rouhani now. Yes. What is this dua exactly? When was it issued? And when we can say we are supposed as Shiites to read it out?
You know, first of all, we should know that all the duas which are narrated from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam are really meaningful and beautiful duas.
Yes.
So among them is dua of Abu Hamza al-Thumali, which is narrated from Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
Mm-hmm.
So regarding the content of this dua, we should mention that first of all, the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned in this dua. The beautiful names or asma'ul husna of Almighty Allah is mentioned here, that when you want to address Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course you have to address him by his beautiful names, by Asma'ul Husna, and how should you address him? And then the other content of this dua is the difficulties of the nights of Qabr,
mm-hmm.
When a person die, and what kind of things he will experience in before Qiyamah or in the Qiyamah. And then, of course, it talks about the sins that the people commit and how should they repent from those sins that he committed. And then in this dua, we are called to follow truly and wholeheartedly the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam. And in what way we should repent, in what way we should ask forgiveness from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by which kind of wordings, which kind of sentences, which kind of content. So that's why it is a kind of instruction as well, how to talk to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
And of course, this dua contains lots of other kind of social issues, even moral issues, moral teachings, mystical kind of teachings, and also political teachings. All are covered in this dua, which is interpreted by Ayatollah Jawadi al-Muli hafidhahullah. And this tafsir of this dua is very beautiful, and our audience, our brothers and sisters, can refer to this tafsir or interpretation of this dua made by Ayatollah Jawadi al-Muli and made use of this.
That's right. And Sheikh Fadeh, why we are recommended to read it during the holy month of Ramadan? Is there any relation between, for example, this text of dua and the holy month of Ramadan?
You know, this dua is one of the important main duas that we have among all of duas, which are recorded. But first of all, we should pay attention that what is dua and munajat?
Yes.
You know, the du'as and munajat that we got them from Ahlul Bayt are the way to connect with God.
Mm-hmm.
How to connect with the God, how to talk with God. You know, if you want to go to an office, you want to a ministry, talk with the minister or the, I don't know, boss, maybe you don't know how to talk because of his position, have a high position.
Yes.
Some of the clerk in that office show you and teach you how to talk, how to write what you want to say.
Yes.
So it needs to be taught. In these duas, we are taught how to talk with God. Of course, you can talk with God in any way that you like.
Yes.
But it's better to learn to how to talk best.
The etiquette. That's right.
And in the month of Ramadan, we are focused on this connection, the connection between God and his servant.
Yes.
So Ramadan is the month of God, and all people are the guests of God. So what's the meaning of this party? How are we guests? Being guests means to have better connection with God and receive more blessing.
Yes.
So to get better connection and to receive more blessing, it needs to know more about how to connect with that.
Yes.
In this dua, we can learn how to connect with God better. And we can learn a lot of points. For example, in the beginning phrases of this dua, we recite, إِلَهِ لَا تُعَدِّبْنِي بِعُقُوبَتِكَ وَلَا تَمْكُرْ بِي فِي حِيلَتِكَ.
Yes.
So imagine that, yes, I committed a lot of sins, and I should be punished, but please do not teach me by your punishment, mm-hmm. because I cannot suffer, I cannot tolerate your punishment. Mm-hmm. So it means that I should accept that I am weak. So I don't dare to do more sins if I accept that I'm so weak about the punishment of God. Or for example, مِنْ أَيْنَ لِيَ الْخَيْرُ يَا رَبْ وَلَا يُوجَدُ إِلَّا مِنْ عَنْدِكَ. Goodness cannot be found unless in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. So people always seek to find goodness, to be good parent, to be, I don't know, good children, to be good professor.
Yes.
So how can I find this goodness? Mm-hmm. Just by the help of God.
Yes.
So this is a lesson. Yes. Or مِنْ أَيْنَ لِيَ النَّجَاةُ وَلَا يُتُسْتَطَعُ إِلَّا بِكَ. If I want to have salvation,
yes.
if I want to be free from the problems of my life,
yes.
so the only way again is God.
Mm-hmm.
But what do? We always refer to our mind and the solution that we think about it.
Yes.
So Imam Sajjad in this dua teaches us that this is impossible.
Yes.
You cannot find salvation. You cannot find the solution of your problem just by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You should go to God. You should bow before God. Then God will help you to solve this problem. So this is how to have better connection with God. And
The best way of tawbahs and tazarru, we can say supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are really fascinating in this dua. And as Shaykh said, we can say even these du'as themselves need some explications
yes.
and interpretations by the greatest scholars like Ayatollah Jawad Yamali, who did so during the history.
No, if we read
right.
those books, as my brother said, mm-hmm. if we read those books, after that we can understand the position of this du'a.
Yes.
What does Imam Sajjad say
yes.
in that?
We know that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, Zainul Abidin, the ornament of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is famous for his supplication. Saifat al-Sajjadiyah is also another one. All in all, really fruitful, authentic books and du'as and supplications by Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. And this du'a written to Abu Hamza Somali and taught to Abu Hamza Somali is really outstanding. Thank you very much for your nice elaboration regarding the fruitful life of Abu Hamza Somali, one of the most outstanding companions of Imam Sajjad, Imam al-Baghir, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. It is believed that he has passed away in the year 150 according to the lunar Hijri calendar. Thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai and Sheikh Rouhani. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Code of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi aman.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.